is there any place you've never been but you're still kind of obsessed with? I mean, for me, I have wanted to go to Ulaanbaatar ever since a buddy of mine in college was getting rid of his stuff and I inherited his Lonely Planet travel guide to Mongolia. And I've been almost weirdly desperate to see Newfoundland after reading The Shipping News by Annie Proulx, like one of my all-time favorite books. But journalist Caroline Eden fell in love with the Black Sea because of a car accident during a trip to Turkey. She was safe, her bus pulled out of the way, but after that scary moment, she looked out the window, and it was as if the sea just appeared to her. It captured her. She decided to learn about the Black Sea by traveling around it, to traverse Europe and Asia and see what it means when you put all of these very old cultures along the same body of water. So hi, Caroline.
Hi, Francis.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm excited to talk with you about your book. It's so beautiful.
Thank you very much for having me on.
So I have never thought to define a region through a body of water. I think it's so interesting that that's the conceit of your book. But, you know, the Black Sea is huge, and you traveled along it all the way from Ukraine to eastern Turkey, and those are super different places. Is there something that connects the cuisines and the cultures of the Black Sea?
Well, that was what I wanted to find out. So I had several questions in mind when I started to do the research and the travel. And I wanted to find out what was left of the historic trade routes, what lies hidden, and how can history books tell us that it's the birthplace of barbarism, yet the sea that welcomes strangers? And I knew it was a great place of migration. And with migration often comes very interesting food stories.
Yeah. And what did you see? Like, how did the food... Well, at least from the perspective of your journey, from Odessa all the way to Trabzon in eastern Turkey, how did you see the food change? Could you sense it evolving in some like particular way?
It was an amazing couple of journeys. I did two long trips of 6 weeks each, and then I did some sort of individual trips to Istanbul and Odessa. And the food culture was much richer than I first imagined when I set out. Odessa has got Italian and Jewish cuisines there, which I hadn't expected. Istanbul, a city I love that I visit regularly, for me is the world's greatest kitchen. And I looked at that from a Black Sea perspective only. And then as we sort of continue through to Trabzon, the Black Sea region of Turkey, quite unexplored in food writing, is completely different to the rest of Turkey. So buttery, smoky, different flavors, different ingredients, amazing produce, and really interesting historical stories to do with food as well. So really, really an incredible region full of different cultures.
Yeah. So what were some of the places that really surprised you on this journey, and what do they taste like?
So to start in Odessa, one of the most interesting things is the Italian connection. So I have a recipe in the book for Italian street polpette, and that's because Italians were the first restaurateurs in Odessa.
Really?
One of the founders of the city. Yeah, so it's founded in 1794 by someone from Naples, actually, who was appointed by Catherine the Great to kind of seize the Tartar-run fort that was there. So 1794, it becomes a city, and some people followed him, Italians followed Deribas, who was one of the founders, and other people. This is a region that was sort of run by Italian merchant colonizers, the Genoese, the Venetians. They were running the Black Sea trading ports. So it's always been an Italian region. And Italian used to be heard on the streets of Odessa when it was first founded. And signposts would be in Russian and in Italian.
That's
and this
so
was fascinating, and I didn't know this until I got there. Yeah, Alexander Pushkin, when he was there in Odessa in the 1820s, heard Italian spoken on the streets and writes about that and stayed in a hotel on Italian Street.
And did the cuisines... I mean, obviously, when we talk about cuisines being the result of, you know, migration of people, the movement of people, often it's also with a certain level of conflict. And, you know, and
yes.
You know, if just hungry people tend to ignore that part, but... was there a sense that there was a commingling of, you know, what could be seen as Italian foods versus what could be seen as more traditional Ukrainian foods?
Definitely. I mean, I think you can go to most cities in the world and there's going to be an Italian restaurant, but they have held on to this sort of Italian culture and people know about it. You know, it used to be taught in schools Italian back in the day when it was first founded, and it was the lingua franca of the commercial harbour, as it was in Constantinople which is now obviously Istanbul, across the Black Sea. So that history is very much part of the Odessan history. And one of the most interesting things I have to tell you was when I was researching, all these tales of shipwrecks started to be published in the newspapers here in the UK. A British and Bulgarian archaeological team started to explore the Black Sea 2,000 metres below. And down there, they uncovered 40 or more shipwrecks, some of them completely preserved, because the Black Sea, 90% of it doesn't have oxygen. It's almost a dead sea. It's just the 10% on the top that has the fish. Which is perfect for preserving. And they found ships 2,400 years old from the Venetian times, from Roman shipwrecks. They found Cossack assault vessels. And the most amazing one, as far as we're concerned with food, was a 2,400-year-old ship which had clay jars still within it. And one of them still had diced up fish steaks intact. So, you know, it's so amazing. It's not just the countries around the Black Sea that's interesting from a food and trade and sort of cultural perspective. It's what's under the waves as well.
What other places surprised you, and like dishes or elements of the cuisine surprised you?
I was really fascinated by the Turkish tea culture. So I visit Istanbul regularly, and I always drink a lot of tea when I'm there because, you know, it's fantastic.
Sure.
It comes in the little, you know, tulip shapes, the glass cups, and it's delicious and refreshing. And I didn't really know very much about the Turkish tea industry, but it was somewhere I stopped on my travels in the very far northeast of Turkey, close to a city called Rize, 50 miles east of Trabzon. So almost, you know, you're almost in Georgia when you're up there. And there's an interesting climate there. It's quite monsoonal and wet and humid. So the heat sort of rises in Central Asia, and then it cools on the Black Sea. And this is ideal for tea growing. And what I saw when I arrived there are hills covered in 100 different shades of green, curvy, rolling down to the Black Sea, and, you know, tea plantations like you visualize with somewhere like Sri Lanka. I didn't know that this existed there. And it's now
amazing.
The fifth largest tea region in the world. Yeah, after India, China, I think Sri Lanka and Kenya. And it began in the 1920s, and they've been harvesting tea since in that region. And it's supremely delicious. It's very clean tasting and sort of amber, dark red amber color. And I've heard, I don't know if this is true, that the Turks will say when it's ready, it's red as rabbit's blood. That's the color of the tea. That sort of
That's really dark red description. Yeah.
It's lovely to drink it there amongst the tea plantations and to see it being picked. A lot of Georgians were working there when we were there against it, like modern trade. The ones we spoke to said it was very hard to make a living in Georgia, and so they'd come there to work in the tea plantations of Turkey. But yeah, that was really interesting. That surprised me.
Yeah. And is there so as you mentioned in Istanbul, there's, you know, tea is served almost at any point in the day.
Right.
Is there a particular tea drinking tradition there in Eastern Turkey too? Is it served with food?
I think there's maybe just more of it. I mean, because you're there in tea country, you know, Turks consume the most tea in the world per capita. I think the Irish are second. So Turks really are big tea drinkers.
We're the Chinese.
We say 10 cups a day. No, I think the Turks are number one. And, you know, seven or eight glasses in a sitting is not unusual. And, you know, it's just fascinating, the history of tea in Turkey, because it's a relatively new story. And, you know, the first crop was in 1939. So, yeah.
Right. So in this whole journey from Odessa all the way to Trabzon, do you have a memory of the most delicious thing that you ate the entire time?
I do. And it was in Istanbul, predictably, probably. But so I was headed to Trabzon, and I'm in Istanbul, and I heard that there was a cultural center where people from Trabzon go in Istanbul and dance and play cards, and there's food served there. So I went there with someone who was helping me with translation because I don't speak Turkish. And we sat with a lady, and she served us Black Sea börek. So lots of layers of phyllo, and then inside rice, chard, which is very popular in the Black Sea region of Turkey, sultanas and pine nuts. Super simple, but so delicious. And I think is my favorite because I make it a lot at home still now.
Yeah. And if someone were to, I doubt many people would have the adventure in them to trace your entire journey, but as you were traveling through these very different regions, did you rely on fixers? Like, if you were a traveler to these places, obviously Istanbul is truly one of the great cosmopolitan global cities. So, you know, tourists go there all the time. But if you were going to some of these other places, even like in Odessa, would you have any advice for travelers?
I know a couple of people who've done the journey based on the book,
really?
Actually, which I love. It totally
makes
everything
fans.
Worthwhile. I love to hear that. The only difficult part is getting from Odessa to Constanța in Romania. That is a really long overnight bus ride. It's not easy. There's no easy flight. There's no train. It's a bus and it's fine, but it's long. The rest of it, I don't think it's a difficult journey. We took a taxi for part of the way. We took buses. I travelled with my husband for quite large sections of the trip. Turkey is very well set up with an excellent bus network along the Black Sea. Very comfortable buses. I don't think it's not a difficult region to travel in. You need to have a slight sense of adventure because the Turkish Black Sea region is not like the south. They don't get many tourists. And it's a little bit conservative, but that's not to say it's not friendly. It's very friendly. Mm-hmm. Almost more so because there's not much tourism there, and Odessa's fine. It's a lot of young people there speak English. Russians, you hear Russian mainly there, actually more than Ukrainian spoken. So if you speak Russian, that comes in really useful. And Bulgaria is a lot of holiday resorts are along the Black Sea where Brits go on holiday, but also very easy to get off the beaten track there. So I think it's a wonderful region to travel in, to skirt the coast that way.
Very lovely. Well, thank you so much for making the journey and reporting back for us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Caroline Eden is the author of Black Sea, Dispatches and Recipes Through Darkness and Light. And if you go to splendidtable.org, you can find that recipe she talked about for Black Sea Borek. It's a crispy phyllo pie filled with greens, raisins, and pine nuts.